this payment over $1,300 a month and didn't care about the rate. So when rates dropped, Team Hochberg helped Billy, whose scores were now over 740, then drop his rate into the mid-threes, reduced his payment another $100 a month, and covered his closing costs. So if you want to use your home's equity to eliminate debt, reduce your rate, or shorten your loan term, call Team Hochberg now at 312-855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
Hi. I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is being brought to you by the fine folks over at Four Winds Casino. Jordan, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show,
Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times.
We're already seeing some of the colleges, especially the MAC, where I went to school at Kent State, you know, struggling to keep all these other Title IX sports and these other sports alive. They're all dead. I mean, Lawrence, let's be real. They're dead. If they can't get that $1 million that they get for going to Columbus or the $1 million going to Illinois, they're dead. I mean, that's what keeps the program afloat. So I don't think that could be stressed enough how dangerous this is to the middle tier of college football and bigger picture college sports.
Israel Adonijay, what did it mean to you to have so many people from different organizations be a part of what you guys did in Austin?
It's everything. You know, I mean, you and I, like, we already know Chicago is truly one of the most philanthropic cities in the world. There's so many givers in this city. At an event like that, not surprised. You know, guys flying in, literally Jets, Packers, Saints, from everywhere to be a part of this, to support Sam, to support this community.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Yeah, we had a fun show on Friday, and we talked about a lot of different things. We are hoping to do that again yet today. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Glad that you could be along for the ride. I was so happy to hear Terry Bors on the airwaves talking about Seth Mason. And it's sad that he passed away at the age of 71. The guy was an absolute giant in the business, and one of the leading reasons why the score even exists. And I've been at the score for a really long time, but I wasn't there at the beginning. So I didn't have a lot of interaction with Seth. The strange thing is that over the last few years, he's reached out to me just like every now and again, just be like, hey, really like that segment. Really think that you're on the right track, like all of that stuff. So, I mean, that meant a lot to me for a guy that was so important to Chicago radio, so important to this radio station in particular, for him to be even paying attention to my show was a real honor. And this was a man who was a true gentleman and a great businessman, and he will be missed. The industry will obviously miss him. His family will obviously miss him, and I will miss him. I will miss the text chats that we would have about the state of sports radio and everything else. So rest in power to Seth Mason, a real giant, and someone who deserves the undying respect of everyone who is associated or listens to the score. So it was really nice to hear Dan and Terry talking about that. And anytime there's Terry Bores on the score, it's a good thing. Any time. It just makes the day a little bit brighter. Because Terry's the man. We all know that. Coming up on the show today, Scott Greger of the Daily Herald is going to join me to talk about the White Sox and Michael Kopech, which I will get to momentarily. I want to talk about that before I bring Scott on. My buddy Dave Ross, who, if you didn't hear the House of L Rocky Roundtable, he is the star of that roundtable. He will be on with me at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk about Fight Island and the UFC and Usman versus Masvidal. We'll do that at 1. So if you're a fight fan, if you know someone who's a fight fan, make sure you tell them to tune in at 1. JJ Stankovic from NBC Sports Chicago is going to join me at 1:30. We're going to talk about the Bears, but we're also going to talk about his cheating-ass Manchester City squad that seemingly bribed their way back into the Champions League. The Champions! So we'll do that, and we'll also talk a little bit of football. So football and football with J.J. Stankovic coming up at 1:30. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Jordan Malley is the executive producer because Herbie's on his road trip, and I got a text from him last night because I wasn't sure if this was the week that he was going, and I was like, are you producing tomorrow's show? And he's like, nope, I'm in Utah. So Herbie will be back in a few days. Strangely enough, when he comes back, I'll leave. It's like we don't like each other, even though we do. But he's on vacation, and it is a well-earned vacation, but the show is in good hands with Jordan Malley. So let me talk about the events, and I discussed it a little bit on LoHo Daily on Friday. I put out a Kopech episode on Friday. So I was recording some stuff for Baseball Night in Chicago. I was sitting in for Layla, who was sitting in for Cap on Sports Talk Live, and then we got the word, hey, there's going to be an announcement. The White Sox are going to make an announcement at 5 o'clock. I thought like maybe they're going to talk about Moncada, and they did. They did speak about Moncada in some more clear terms by putting him on the injured list, the 10-day injured list. But they told us that it was Michael Kopech who had decided that he was going to opt out of the 2020 season. There's been a lot of speculation. I know that I have been sent all sorts of speculation from a bunch of different people on what's been going on. I feel like the reporting of the people who cover the White Sox beat has been excellent. And got guys like Scott Merkin and James Fegan, they've kept the speculation to a minimum. To me, it's really simple. This is a year where anyone who doesn't want to be a part of what's going on with the 60-game schedule, I'm in support of anyone who decides that they want to play, and I'm in support of anyone who says, I don't think this is for me. And there could be multiple reasons, whether the reasons are, and I don't know if we even have to separate them. I think they can all be in a gumbo together of reasons to not do this. In Kopech's particular case, you are talking about someone that, from all reports, is good to go physically with Tommy John, and he pitched a little bit in spring before spring got disrupted back in March. But my whole thing is, if it makes you uncomfortable, if being off routine makes you uncomfortable, which is what this season is about. This season is about being off routine. If you don't feel like you've had enough time to do what you've needed to do, and remember, Kopech got sent down, technically. I'm using air quotes. You can't see me, but I'm using air quotes. Sent to the Charlotte roster, and there hasn't been any minor league baseball that's been played. So all of the things that would go into getting Kopech to the major league roster and to the major league team, those things have not been in place. You are talking about someone who was on kind of a strict throwing program, even in spring training. You're talking about someone who has anxiety and depression issues and has been very clear about those issues. If you add all of those things together and then put COVID on top of it, it's why I'm like, anyone who wants to take a step back from this, they have my full support. Because it's not an easy decision to make. You want to be out there, and it seems like the White Sox are in a space right now where they have an opportunity. Even being a young team, a team that is putting all the parts together, they have an opportunity in this 60-game season. Every team does. I think that there's no one that you can eliminate from maybe winning the World Series this year, which is really great for both baseball teams in town, but particularly for the White Sox, and seeing how they're built. It could be a super exciting season for them. It makes me sad that Kopech is not going to be a part of it for this season, and it's going to be close to, I think, 1,000 days. Maybe like 930, 940 days since he will have pitched for the White Sox in a major league game. I want to go back, Jordan, I want to go back for a second to January and a conversation. And I heard Parkins and Spiegel talking about this. I thought they did a really nice job of kind of discussing it in very sensitive in detail. They were talking about the interview that McNeil and Parkins had done with Kopech back in January. And I think that it gives you a glimpse into what he's about and what type of person he is and the types of things that he's dealing with. Take a listen.
I definitely do. And, you know, I think it had to do with me allowing myself to open up about it. It was something that I didn't talk about for a long time, and it kind of crippled me because I was so introverted. And not that I'm not introverted anymore, but I'm a lot more comfortable with who I am, and who I am isn't necessarily the center of attention person. You know, I'm not looking for the spotlight. I'm just looking to get my stuff done and get out. And I think I lied to myself about wanting that spotlight for a lot of my career, and, you know, kind of recognizing it for what it is now. And it is my career, and it is what I'm passionate about, but it's not just an excuse to get famous. You know, like, that side of the game is no longer important to me at all. But what it has done is it's allowed me to really focus on being the best version of myself, and that as a competitive athlete and just as a person. And so, to answer your question, yeah, I do feel maybe not necessarily healed. I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't get anxiety anymore, but I'm a lot more comfortable in my own skin.
I'm pumping my fist here to hear you say that, because mental illness, and I've got it, long family history of it. I check a lot of boxes, Michael. You're never healed. It's a daily process with medication, talk therapy, and having a support group, isn't it?
Right, absolutely. And it's something that has to be a daily practice, you know. And for me, it's been a routine, you know, a self-care routine, if you will. But it's something that I've had to create for myself to kind of cope with this. And that may sound like overwhelming to some people. Oh, you have to do that just to live a normal life. But you know what? It is just part of me. And for a lot of people, part of their routine in their life would be different to me. But kind of learning to deal with these things and finding things that work for me Yeah, it's just really been comforting. And having that support group is, you know, usually family. And having a wife now, that is family. And so I have people around me that are close to me, that love me and care about me. And it makes this stuff a lot easier. And, you know, it's, I think the reason I like talking about it so much is there's people out there that probably wonder if anyone else goes through this, because I was that person for a long time. And, you know, opening up about it has really allowed me to meet people that have gone through this and have gone through much worse. So it makes my perspective, you know, all the less important, but still that much more valuable.
Michael, what were the watershed moments that led you to seeking treatment? What was the bottom like?
The bottom was just being lost, in a sense. I can't really pinpoint to one thing. You know, I've vaguely talked about having a point of suicidal thoughts, and at that stage in my life, you know, it's not something I'm proud to talk about, but it's something that's very real. And at that stage in my life, I didn't know what I wanted, who I was, what I thought was a normal life, so to speak. And I think by being around people that truly love me and care about me, and not necessarily Michael Kopech, the baseball player, which I, even on my intro there, I've defined myself as a baseball player, but I think now it's more so about me, you know, being a baseball player second. You know, I have a real life and a real support group and a real loving family, and that's really what defines me. And then anything after that is just gravy on top, you know.
So that was Michael Kopech back in January talking with the McNeil and Parkins show. And when you hear that, I'm someone who has, I have some anxiety issues. I actually was having a very anxious moment this past weekend that I was, it's weird because you're not around people and then you're around people and it's weird. Anyway, I am someone who loves routine, and routine helps me get myself to the place where I can be on the air and I can talk about a lot of different things. I'm a creature of it. And a lot of other people are too. They might even not even be anxiety ridden, but you can hear with him talking about how much routine is important to him, how it's helped to balance him out. It's allowed for him to see what he wants his career to look like as a baseball player. And it also allows him to have a life. And that's something that has become very important to him. So imagine someone who is someone who likes routine being thrown into this, being thrown into a 60-game schedule, being thrown into all these negotiations, all of the different moving parts that are going on right now as we speak with testing and whatnot. I would imagine that everyone is anxious about it. Like, for example, remember how we've been talking about the Cubs and testing? They've got six people who can't be at practice today because they haven't gotten their test back from Saturday. It's stuff like that where if you are a creature of habit, a creature of routine, this is probably not the best environment for you. Now, to be fair, I don't know what's going on with Michael Kopech. I'm just trying to give it context. I just say that I can't blame anyone, especially someone who has gone on the record and talked about issues of anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. I can't blame anyone for saying, I don't want to be a part of this. So I hope that he gets what he needs throughout this period of time, that he can relax knowing that he has made the decision to opt out and it's the best decision for him. And hopefully, by the time we get to February of next year, we are watching him again ramp up for a season. But I think that it's the right decision for him. And so far, the White Sox have seemed to have been on board with him making that decision. And Coop had said on to the Sun-Times that he was worried about Kopech. If we're at a place where you're worried about that player, then that player playing is the least of the worries. Like, forget about him playing. It doesn't matter. make sure that you're taking care of the person. So I applaud the White Sox for trying to take care of the person along with the player. So my hope is that if Michael Kopech wants to talk about all of this,